Hello and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am one of your hosts, Lyle Perez.
And I'm your other host, Lasse Vogt. How is it going?
Lasse, it is going good. And for those of you who don't know, that could hear the sound quality difference, Lasse is sitting right next to me.
It's live, people. It's live. It's happening. I'm in the U.S.
He is here. He has done numerous things wrong, but he has me to help him out.
I did. What did I wrong?
You didn't stop at a stop sign. You wait too long at a red light. Numerous things.
I didn't stop at a stop sign. Don't remember
that. When we were driving from the farmer's market and you were behind me following me, a car was waiting to go and you just went right ahead.
Oh, okay.
But that's good. That's California driving for you.
Yeah. I mean, I still have to get used to it, but I think I'm doing fine. It's good that I actually had him as a passenger, so he could teach me some of the Californian rules I'm not familiar with.
The California way is what he needs, but it feels a little weird because I can look at you.
Yeah, we can so actually weird. Face each other, and we don't have to pretend to see each other and just stare at our computer screen because over Skype we don't do the video stuff.
No, we try to make sure that the sound quality is as best as it can be, so we turn off the video, and it seems to work out fine that way.
Yeah, totally. I really enjoy staying here. Just arrived a few days ago, had not the best flight, but I'm good now, and like we said, I'm staying here for a little while, and then big break, and then I will be here again. So tons of stuff to record, tons of stuff to see just for you people, and I really enjoy finally being here and bringing you all of the good stuff our show has to offer and more.
Oh yeah, we're going to have lots of good stuff coming up. It's good. The sound quality is going to be good until he has to go away and then we go back to Skype for a while, but we're going to record as many shows as we possibly can and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool. So I guess let's just go right into the topic. So this episode, we watched a Sabrina the Teenage Witch Christmas episode. It is called A Girl and Her Cat. It was season 1, episode 11. This episode originally aired on December 13th, 1996. Lasse was alive.
Yeah, I was. I was, but I guess I was too young to watch the show.
Yeah, what was it, 92? So what, you had to have been 4?
Yeah, and actually, I think the show didn't come to German TV until, like, 97?
97. Well, tell us about the little, some German trivia about this show.
So, some German trivia. Oh, no, actually, it didn't come to Germany until 1998.
2 years later?
Yeah, and it was shown on ProSieben, which I already told you was, like, the sitcom comedy channel, and I remember some of the show, like I watched some of it when I was a kid, but I was actually much more familiar with the animated series. They did like an American animated spin-off a little while later, and that was shown on Super RTL in Germany, and I was much more familiar with that as a kid and later as when I got a little older.
I do remember that one. I never really watched it. I watched the live action one mostly because I had a big crush on Melissa Joan Hart. I did. And I thought I was going to marry her when I was younger. I thought when I didn't get that much older, but around that same time, I told myself, I'm going to find a girl named Melissa and I'm going to marry her. And it actually happened. My wife's middle name is Melissa.
That's amazing.
So I stuck true to my goals.
That's fate setting in, people.
It is.
It's all going according to plan.
So, yeah, I remember watching this show a lot. I remember it was a big staple on TGIF, which is the Friday block on ABC. Lasse, I don't think you had TGIF over there.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But we had it here. It was a lot of fun. It was great. It lasted from, what, 89 all the way to 2000? So my entire childhood was TGIF Fridays all the time. And this show, that's where I watched it. Yeah. By myself, basically.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think I watched some reruns of a show when I was growing up. Some, like, here and there, some episode. But like I said, much more familiar with the animated stuff.
Yeah, cool. So, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was an American sitcom, for those of you who don't know, that originally aired from September 27th, 1996, to May 5th, 2000. It was on the ABC network. It was part of the Friday lineup to TGIF, like I just talked about. The show ran for a total of 7 seasons. 4 of them ran on ABC, then it jumped networks to the WB for the last 3 seasons. And I mostly remember the show on TGIF. It had a total of 163 episodes with 3 TV movies. And out of those 163 episodes, we got 6 Christmas and 6 Halloween episodes. I've seen them all. What about you? Did you see any other Christmas episodes from the show or Halloween ones?
Not that I remember. Like, no. Might be, but I really don't remember. This is the first time I watched a Christmas-themed episode of this show, as far as I know.
Yeah, we'll get to those in time. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you have some time to hang out with me and watch some more. Why don't you tell us what a quick sum up of what this show is all about?
Well, the story of the show revolves around Sabrina Spellman. Yeah, I see what you did there, people. She's a teenage girl who goes to live with her 2 aunts, and on her 16th birthday discovers that she's a witch. And that's pretty much the show, just her getting used to her witch powers and learning to use them, and also having interactions with people at school, finding a relationship, having a rivalry with another girl, mm-hmm. and just the interactions with the aunts and the cat.
Right, yeah, the cat, Salem. A lot of fun, a lot of good memories with that cat.
Oh, yeah.
So who is in the show? We have Sabrina. She is the main character, played by Melissa Joan Hart. Aunt Zelda, who was played by Beth Broderick. And Hilda, played by Carolyn Ray, I think that's how you pronounce it. We had Harvey Kinkle, who was Sabrina's crush. That name kills me, Kinkle. Harvey Kinkle, played by Nate Richard. I think that's how you say his name. Nick Baquet? Yes, Nick Baquet plays Salem the cat, who does the voice. Those were pretty much the main characters in this episode that we saw, but the show had more characters. We had Libby Chesler, who was pretty much the bully of the school. She made fun of Sabrina all the time. We had Jenny, who was Sabrina's best friend, and Mr. Poole, who I really liked as a character, as Sabrina's science teacher, and he was only in the first season.
Yeah, and he was actually played by Paul Feig, mm-hmm. who is now a successful comedy director, and he also produced several comedy shows.
Oh, yeah. I really liked him in this show. He was very fun.
He did some other acting gigs on a couple of comedy movies. There was a weird cameo.
Was he in the movie Heavyweights?
I don't know, but he was in the movie.
He
was a Knocked Up.
Was he?
Yeah, he is in the scene where they play fantasy football. He's one of the guys, and I think he always just wears suits, like his fancy suits, and in that, and he just looks like himself in that cameo. He's also just wearing a suit for no reason, I think. Wow.
I have to go rewatch that movie. I haven't seen it in forever.
Yeah, oh, that's a great one. But he's in that scene.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much all of the characters from the first season. The second season, the best friend changed. Mr. Poole's gone. Harvey stuck around for, I don't know, I think the entire, not the entire run. He kind of went away for a couple of seasons while Sabrina was in college.
I think he was her boyfriend for until the fourth season.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I think when it jumped at networks, they kind of got rid of him for a little bit, but then they brought him back for the finale. I believe they got married in the finale. I mean, don't quote me on it, because I haven't seen Sabrina since I was a child, and I could have sworn they got married.
He got Taylored for a few seasons, you know, like some of the Taylor sons, Tim Taylor. Yeah. that's a phrasing I just invented, people.
The Taylors.
Yeah, you get Taylored. You
get Taylored out.
You get Taylored, just thrown out of a show for a while.
And then you come back for the finale. Oh, well, he didn't come back for the finale. He came back for a Christmas episode, and then at the final episode, he was gone.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. We already talked about that.
Oh, yeah. But we'll get into it when some other time. So the quick synopsis, Lassa, give us a quick run through of the episode we saw.
The episode is about Sabrina's cat, Salem. He sneaks into her backpack so he can go to the local pizzeria, but then he is taken home by a little boy who won't give him up. And of course, for the people who don't know, Salem is actually he's himself like a wizard or like a witch master. I'm not quite sure how.
Salem was a witch. He was a witch.
A male witch.
A male witch, and he was. He tried to take over the world.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was caught by the Witches' Council, and the Witches' Council turned him into a cat. They sentenced him to 100 years as a cat, and along with everyone else who was his, who were, all of his followers were also punished. Some mm-hmm. of them got turned into animals. Some of them had to take care of those animals. As we later find out that Hilda was, Aunt Hilda was also part of Salem's scheme. And as her punishment, she had to take care of Salem for those 100 years. So that's why Salem lives with them in the Spellman household.
Okay, I see. But yeah, that's the premise of the episode. Not much more to it, except for the funny details we're about to discuss.
Doesn't sound very Christmassy, but there was a lot of Christmas in this episode.
There was
quite a few. So I guess we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we will give you a full run through of the episode.
See you in a few.
Ow. So you think Santa will like these red and green M&Ms?
I don't know. I never met the guy. He does exist.
They do exist. Santa?
And welcome back. So yeah, let's go right into a full run-through. Let's see. The opening scene.
It's my turn with the opening scene.
Go right ahead.
Aunt Hilda is on the phone. She's talking to Cousin Monty. And she pawns the phone off on Zelda. He's asking what they are doing for Christmas, and he basically invites himself.
This is the first time we ever see Cousin or hear from Cousin Monty.
I got that vibe, because it's early in the show, and he introduces himself to Sabrina, so I was like, okay, this is the first time we see him.
Yeah, it's the first time, and I don't think you ever see him again, but I kind of really like this character.
We will talk about him later.
Let's go. We'll get into it later. Go ahead, keep going.
Okay, Zelda is all for it, but Hilda keeps making things pop up saying no. Just like a red light, mm-hmm. and she has like a couple of cue cards saying no, 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 no. And Zelda is oblivious to them. She's just talking on the phone. Zelda hangs up and Hilda whines why she invited him, that he's so annoying. And Zelda replies with, you should have said something.
Just a very typical... it's not a cold open because it does have to do with the show. What do they call this type of opening? Is it a hot open if it's not a cold open?
Could be. I mean, it's like, it's just like maybe that kind of like a stinger beginning, kind of like how all the James Bond movies start.
Yeah, I guess to kind of sum up the part of the problem, I guess, in the episode. But mm-hmm. it wasn't really much of a problem later on. But we'll get there in time. So we have the opening credits. We have that nice guitar music going, which I kind of enjoyed when I was a kid. And you get to see Melissa Joan Hart in a lot of costumes and get-ups and different clothes. And I kind of like that, too. So the next scene, Zelda, which I have to be honest, this is I used to watch the show numerous times when I was a kid. I never put two and two together that her name was Zelda, and I never put it together with The Legend of Zelda.
I'm pretty sure it was an accident.
I never put those two together until recent. I was watching a Christmas episode probably like a year or two ago. And then she kept saying, Aunt Zelda, Aunt Zelda. And I was like, wait a minute. The Legend of Zelda. I finally figured it out. So, but yeah, Aunt Zelda, she's in the kitchen. She's making like this witch's brew. I think it ended up being like apple cider or something like that. Hilda walks in. And she takes a cup of whatever Zelda's making. Salem wants some too, but Zelda's like, your little kitty liver is not going to be able to handle alcohol, so we can't give you any. So because of that, Salem gets all depressed that he can't do anything that he used to do when he was a human. Flash forward and... Oh, wait a minute. No. We go... So he's being a Grinch. And Zelda tells him to knock it off, not to ruin Christmas for anyone. And then we get flash forward to Sabrina's room. She's in there singing a nice Christmas carol, I think it was Deck the Halls. Mm. And she's looking in the mirror and she notices that there's claw marks on her sweater, her favorite sweater, Christmas sweater. And I was like, wouldn't she notice that when she put them on? And even like if she magically put them on, why couldn't she just magically fix it?
Yeah, that's something you write yourself into a corner when you actually introduce a witchcraft that is used for everyday chores. So right. It's literally, why is this such a big deal for you? I was wondering that.
It is. It's a big deal throughout the episode. And it wasn't that much of a big deal. She's a witch. She can just fix it.
I mean, of course, it's about principles. You know, you just can't tear up anybody's sweater. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really not that big of an inconvenience.
Yeah, well, I don't buy it. She comes down the stairs and she's angry. She's yelling at Salem. She asks if he was in her room. He says, yeah. So? And then she goes... She's all like, you ruined my favorite Christmas sweater. And he goes, yeah. So? That was a good scene. I love that scene.
I have to say, Salem always was my favorite character in this and also in the animated show. And in the German version of the animated show, it was called Simsalabim Sabrina in Germany. Salem was voiced by Lutz McKenzie, who is the regular voice actor for Stanley Tucci. Hmm. And on this sitcom, the German voice is Frank Engelhardt, who voices Brian Griffin on Family Guy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool, I guess. I mean, that kind of confused me for a second because I didn't remember that you were talking about German stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. No, it's Seth MacFarlane. He's doing right. <That's> Brian.
But why Seth MacFarlane is doing pretty much all of the voices for different characters, they have different voice actors in the German version. So it's, Stewie is a different voice actor than Peter Griffin, for example.
Do they kind of sound the same as the English ones?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Actually, I think Brian is pretty close. Stewie is kind of close. Peter Griffin is a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, Peter Griffin has that, like, whiny voice.
Yeah.
But, that line just straight up killed me. He's like, yeah, so? She tells him that the sweater meant a lot to her. He replies that she shouldn't have hidden her diary in it then. And she gets mad. She's like, you're reading my diary. And in this scene, I really get the feeling that Salem is supposed to be more or less like a brother to Sabrina because the way they're bickering. It's supposed to be a younger brother, but in reality, he's older. So if that makes any sense. I noticed that in this scene.
You have to always keep in mind in this that there's actually like how old is Salem supposed to be in real life? I think he's like a grown man of several hundred years.
Yeah, he's an older witch, kind of like the ants.
So whenever the cat sits on her lap and she pets him, think about that, please, dear listeners.
Yeah, it is, I know, you have to suspend belief because yes, it's a cat, and at the very end of the episode, you get more or less a sense that he is 100% a cat. Because of what happens at the very end. But, yeah, I mean, nonetheless, he's a cat. So, you know, whatever. So, they argue more. Zelda tells Salem to apologize. Sabrina heads off to the slicery. Because that's where she was going. The slicery is the local pizzeria.
Actually, that name confused me.
The slicery?
Yeah, because the slicery. I was just like, what exactly is the slicery? Because in my mind, I was thinking about like a meat plant.
No.
Why would you hang out where like bulls get cut up for steaks?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a pizzeria. Salem wants to go with her, and Sabrina's like, heck no, you ain't going to go. You know, I need to get away from you, and yada yada. Everyone leaves, and Salem runs into Sabrina's backpack. And then that's pretty much where the scene ends, and she comes back and she grabs the backpack and she takes off. And I started thinking, there's a cat inside of your bag. Would you not notice that your bag is a lot heavier? Because a cat weighs what? The average cat, let's say, weighs 10 pounds, maybe? 8 pounds?
Should be about right, yeah.
Wouldn't you like be like, whoa, this is 10 pounds heavier?
It's a magic cat. I don't know. For plot convenience.
I guess. I mean, Salem doesn't have any magic. He's not allowed to use magic for the 100 years. So
I mean, it's how? Think about what how much stuff like girls and women drag around in like backpacks or purses. So
yeah, it's already heavy enough. Wouldn't you notice that it's more heavier?
No, if it's actually heavy enough, you don't notice like 5 pounds more.
Oh, I guess not. Well, she must be having a lot of stuff on there. She's got to look good for a 10-year-old me.
Mm.
All right, go ahead. Next scene.
Adver Slicery, which, like we said, is the pizza joint. Harvey is there waiting for her, reading a magazine. And he gives her a present. It's a silver necklace. Harvey helps her to put it on. They have a few cute moments. She brings out his gift, and it's all clawed up, at least the wrapping. And it's a scarf. She says that she made it herself. He asks if she can... Oh! You can knit, and she replies, I made it myself.
She's like, I made it myself. He's like, oh, I didn't know you knit. She's like, I made it myself. Obviously, meaning that she does magic, so she conjured it up. But then again, that made me wonder, why couldn't she just fix her sweater? Like, why?
It's just, you know, she's like, oh. His gift, and then she just points at the table and it appears.
Yeah.
So it's like, where exactly was it? Did you just think about it? And it's like, these witches really should help all of the people out.
Yeah, I mean, another thing too, obviously it wasn't scratched up when she put it in her bag.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that be like Salem's inside of the bag immediately?
I really don't. It's
Sabrina, I love you, but you're not making sense right now.
She is ahead of the clouds.
But anyways, keep going. I'm just nitpicking.
Their pizza's ready. They got the Christmas pizza with red and green peppers, which just sounded ew to me.
that's something I wanted to try.
Ah, whoever puts red or green peppers on pizza should get his hands chopped off.
You know, they do make seasonal pizzas. There's a place. I'm not sure what it's called, but it's not one of the big chains. It's not Domino's. Not. Pizza Hut. It's a small chain. They make pizzas that are shaped as jack-o'-lanterns.
Ooh.
And you have to bring it home and cook it yourself, though.
Okay. Well,
maybe we'll do that someday.
Anyway, that's nice.
Keep going.
Okay. They go get the pizza and Salem pops out of a backpack. He calls the slicery a dump. Harvey looks up and we see what he calls a parsley? What?
Yeah, parsley.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And Sabrina corrects him, saying it's a mistletoe. The creepy clerk, yeah, that's something I wanted to mention. He's really odd.
He's very creepy.
He's really, like, I think he's unintentionally creepy.
No, can we get, at the scene, it's leading to a kiss. And he, what does he say? He says something like...
Come on, your girlfriend will like it.
Yeah, she's like, come on, give her a Christmas kiss. And I'm like, oh, and he's sitting there just like staring at him, waiting for the kiss. That is creepy.
It was really awkward.
It is very awkward.
And, yeah, and they are about to kiss. Salem runs out chasing a mouse. It's a huge fiasco. Sabrina grabs Salem. The clerk tells her that they can't have pets in there and to get the dirty cat out of here. And he's like, you have a mice problem in this joint. Like, you should worry about a lot of other things right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he tells her to take him out the back way because having a cat in there is a health hazard. Like I said, mouse problem.
Yeah.
As they leave, Salem yells, a dirty cat. He was the cleanest thing in there.
Dirty cat, that was the cleanest thing in there, as he's leaving out. But yeah, they get banished to the alley. Sabrina and Salem, they're fighting. He doesn't see the big deal, really. He's like, yeah, I wanted to get out. What does he say? He had a touch of cabin fever, so he wanted to get out of there. Sabrina gets mad, and because she got kicked out of the slicery. It was the only place that she got privacy at, and Salem tells her not to talk about privacy. He's the one that has to relieve himself in a box in the kitchen. And then he says, you know how hard it is to get that faraway stare going?
anybody who has a cat will relate to that.
Yeah. Speaking of cats, you really like my cat.
She really likes me. she won't stop, like, I mean, I pet her, but she really just, she forces herself onto me.
She does. She does that with every newcomer that comes to the house, even when we have a party. Muse just, like, headbutts everybody, and she'll jump on your lap, and she's very, very loving. not like every other cat out there.
Yeah, yeah. Even our cat, who is really loving and trustful and all that stuff. Like he has nothing on that cat. It was really amazing.
And so after they get Salem makes that funny joke that made me laugh out loud. Harvey comes and she tells Salem to be quiet, and he goes, "Oh, okay, meow." He brought the pizza because they got it to go. They got kicked out, and she's aggravated with Salem. She says that he's just a cat. Or no, Harvey says that he's just a cat. That you have to remember that his brain is the size of a walnut. And she goes, "Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I forget that he's just a stupid cat." And she looks at him. She's like, "Stupid cat." And then he just meows. They get ready to leave, but Salem doesn't want to go, so she ends up just leaving them.
Yeah, and actually in that scene, even though it's like this kind of weird-looking puppet, this weird-looking cat puppet, I really felt sorry for the way he blinked at her after she said that. I was like, "Oh, poor Salem," because I was actually feeling for that cat.
You're feeling for Salem, man? Salem's a jerk.
Yeah, he was a jerk, but he still has feelings in a way. You know, I think he was actually hurt by that comment.
He might have been, but I mean, he did it. He doesn't want to show it.
Yeah,
he's not. He's a human, but he has a lot of those feelings as a cat. Like he's an actual real cat, so he mm-hmm. has those feelings.
Yeah,
that he's better than everybody.
Exactly. So back at the house, the ants are fighting. It's Hilda's turn to do the cooking. They fight for a while. Hilda just points her finger, and then it's all set, and she's like, "I hate cooking." that actually got me quite a bit. And Monty walks in with a figgy pudding, and he comes in with his familiar, which is a newt. What?
A newt, yeah, the little lizard.
Of course.
It's called a newt. That's the name of it.
Was the name of a newt.
I don't know, really. Okay. It's a newt inside like a little... I don't know, glass aquarium or something like that. It looked like it looked kind of like a handbag.
Yeah, kind of like, and there's this little newt in there, and yeah. He actually, they tell that he also was involved in the
yes
in the world domination scheme, and he's like, "Salem was supposed to give me Denmark."
Yeah,
he promised me Denmark. I was like,
nice. Isn't that close to you, Denmark?
It's close to us, yeah. If you drive up north in Germany, then at some point you reach the border, and then there's Denmark.
Yeah, it's a lot closer than I am. But keep going.
Why Denmark, of all places?
I don't know.
I mean, it's nice there, but...
Maybe they just wanted to get closer to Lhasa.
Yeah, exactly. And then taking over Germany from there.
Yeah.
And, Hilda gets mad, saying he didn't have him. He was bringing another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
Zelda says it's fine. Then he drops that he brought another person in the house, and then a woman pretty much jumps out of his suitcase. She comes out and does all the weird stretches, dressed in this like a skin-tight cat suit in a way.
Yeah, she was like a what do they call those people?
Like a circus performer, like a snake, yeah. a snake person?
No, there's a name for that. Keep talking and I'll remember.
Okay.
Contortionist, that's
yes,
it.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
Sabrina walks in and she's getting introduced to everyone. Here's where we learned that the newt went along with Salem, all that stuff. And then they ask where Salem is, and she says that... She left him at the slicery, and he could find his own way home.
Yeah, that's kind of setting everything up. Like, yeah, Salem's by himself, and I don't think at this point we figure out that they're worried, but I'm pretty sure we get fast forward back to the alley, and like a quick little small scene. Salem, he's singing sea chanties. That kind of gives you the illusion that he is very old. If he knows sea chanties, like he was a pirate.
I know some sea chanties. I'm not that old. Or am I?
Okay, well, he's like, okay, well, he's done singing all the sea chanties he knows, so he's going to go home. He jumps off the dumpster that he's in, and he gets hit by a bike. The kid takes him home, and then we get fast forward to his house. We get fast forward to Sabrina's house, and they're enjoying like some cider. They're using the bendy woman. I think her name was Lulu. They're using her as a coffee table. And then here's where they start worrying about Salem. It's like they had that cat intuition that he got hit by a bike.
Yeah, but that actually reminded me using her as furniture. a friend of mine at film school did an experimental film where also people in masks were used as chairs.
Hmm.
And then they all just, it has to do with sexuality. Like, a lot of sick, weird shit happens. And at the end, I actually come in a mask and laugh hysterically like a crazy person and want to play some Russian roulette. And it falls to me and then I blow my brains out. And that's the end of the movie.
That's a little weird for a family show.
I'm sorry. I just thought it was a funny little thing. But they don't show it. It's Gunshot Factor Black, pretty much.
Oh, okay. So yeah, your turn.
Yeah, the next scene, it's at the boy's house, and he has a doctor get up on, and he's checking Salem out. That sounds weird.
Yeah, he's playing doctor with Salem, and he's got his little I don't know, his robe or what do they call it, lab coats on, whatever.
Mm-hmm. The dad walks in and catches the boy and Salem, and he talks the dad into keeping Salem. He says he'll talk to his mom tomorrow about it, because it's, you know how she feels about pets. We still don't know where the snake is.
The snake.
Yeah, and I'm like, there's some pretty good jokes in this, and they get the least amount of laughs from the at least canned canned laughter, or like even the studio audience. I'm like, why? Like the best jokes get the least amount of laughs.
I don't think they had a live studio audience for this show, because it does always sound like canned laughter.
It does, yeah.
It's like they had another show, TGIF had... Oh, somebody's... Oh. We're at my office, so you're going to hear a lot of stuff. there was another show on TGIF called Clueless. Clueless, I believe, had a laugh track on it, but... There was no way that they had a studio audience there.
Okay, wasn't Clueless a movie?
It was a movie, but they turned it into a show.
Oh, so the movie came first.
The movie came first, and then it got turned into a show with a different girl playing Cher.
So it wasn't...
Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, she was too busy starring in Batman and Robin.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. But about this scene, there is the dad. He is played by Joe O'Connor. And he previously worked with Melissa Joan Hart on Clarissa Explained It All. He was her father.
Ah, so that's nice.
Yeah, I didn't think you knew that, because when I kind of mentioned something about it, you were like, I have no idea. And I was like, okay, yeah. Well, let's keep it for the show.
That's a nice trivia. And him and his boy leave to get some dinner. And the boy named Salem Stinky, they leave, and Salem was like, I named him Stinky, and then he leaves, and Salem's like, and I got some names for you too, kid. Then he sees a phone,
makes a phone call, and then we get flash forward back to the house. They're sitting, eating dinner. The woman Lulu is twisting all weird at the dinner table. She's like scratching Monty's ear with her foot. It was a little weird. Hilda says that they should have waited for Salem, and not eaten, just waiting for him. They start to get worried. Sabrina, she tries to change the subject really fast, asking about how they met, or no, they ask. She asks about Cousin Monty because she's never met him before. So she wants to know more about him. But then the phone rings and she just gets up and goes right away when he starts talking. It's Salem. He says that he's been kidnapped and that he came to, woke up from his coma apparently just in time to see the front door. That it was a white door with the Christmas wreath on it. And it's a... The boy takes the phone away, like right when he's talking to her, and she asks if he has her cat, and he goes, he's my cat now. Total 5-year-old kid thing. Sabrina and Salem, they both say, what have I done? And then we get brought to a commercial break.
Yeah. Back at the Spurman house, Sabrina tells everyone Salem has been kidnapped. They go out to find him, and Monty and Lulu want to go, but Lulu got stuck. And then it was like, I think he says something like, we'll hold the fortress or something.
We'll hold the fort here.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't go anywhere.
They leave for a slicery, and at the boys' house, Salem is singing a Christmas carol all sad and alone.
I'm so alone. So sad. So there, we get back to the slicery. There's a lot of, like, really fast...
Location changes?
Yeah, like, it goes by really fast, because we're at the... They get to the slicery, it's like they spend literally 10 seconds there, and then we're back to Salem. And then we're back to the slicery. At the slicery, they're in the back of the alley. They're looking for clues to try to figure out where Salem is. Hilda, she is inside the trash can and she has a hazmat suit on. They can't find Salem. There's a picture or like a flyer of Coolio in the background. And Sabrina says that he's the only witness, but he's no help. And then, of course, because they're witches, they just need to point at the flyer and out pops Coolio. And he tells him what happened, tells him that he was singing sea chanties, that he was over there. And the boy's name is Rex. And he says that he saw the name on a vanity plate, and his name was Rex. He tells him which way that the kid went. Coolio jumps back into the fire, and they go off looking for Salem.
Yeah, funny because I just mentioned Batman and Robin, because Coolio was also in Batman and Robin.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was. He has like a cameo at that racing track.
Oh, nice.
And when they do like the bike racing stuff, and I actually thought this cameo was really well done. I enjoyed that. I didn't expect that at all, but it was really, and it's actually a very clever and practical use of magic.
Yeah, you need to have the. They needed some information. He was the only witness, so they pop him right out.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, he's kind of like his own entity, because it's not, I mean, it's not like the real Coolio. He's just the poster version in a way. But he's still very helpful. He's very charismatic, very nice. And there's this funny gag where Sabina's like to him, okay, hey, can you like, it says the concert is sold out. Can you get me tickets? And he's like, oh, I'm just an alley poster. Try billboard.
Yeah, but I wonder where the real Coolio is then. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how this magic works. It's going to make my head hurt if I try to figure it out.
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, so they're off looking for Salem.
Yeah, exactly. They start knocking on doors in this very 90s montage. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And they're actually a lot of weird people opening the doors, like a lot of weird scenarios. Like there's one guy who is like wrapped in Christmas tree stuff.
Yeah, tinsel, I think it was.
Yeah, and everything. It just, I think he even has like the star on his head and something like that. But there's some weird people. Like there's one kid shooting with a toy gun at one of the ants. And there's one thing I noticed, because there's actually a cameo hidden in there. during the 90s montage, there's actually a cameo by Nick Baquet, who voices Salem. He's there with a mistletoe trying to hit on one of the ants. Eventually, yeah. I noticed, I recognized him right away.
I did not recognize it. I'm pretty sure I was writing notes, because I've seen these sitcoms numerous times. And when I do the notes, I don't really have to watch it. I could just listen to it, and I can kind of get a feel of what's going on. And I didn't notice that. I was just looking up the trivia on IMDb, and there it was. And I was all like, hey, I didn't know that. And you're like, oh, I saw that in the first run through. Isn't Dumb
he,
Lyle.
Isn't he actually also one of like Kevin James' buddies? Like, I think he worked a lot on King of Queens, and he was involved in some of the Kevin James movies, so he's a buddy of his.
He was the priest on the King of Queens. He played the priest.
Ah, okay. They can find Salem, and at the end of the montage at the boys' house, Salem starts thinking like MacGyver and comes up with a plan. And the boy walks in, and Salem drops a net on him, and they play a riff on the Mission Impossible theme. And he gets he runs out, but he gets picked up by the dad, and the boy is sad he's gone, and then happy he's back. The doorbell rings, and the boy yells he would get it. It's Sabrina, and at the door asking about Salem. The boy tells her that he doesn't have a cat, and she notices that he has a lisp, and Salem mentioned that. No, she actually recognized his voice from the phone.
From the phone.
And she starts yelling for Salem, and the mom comes to the door, asks what she wants. The mom doesn't know about the cat. It's like, how long were they supposed to keep that secret? That he actually has a cat.
Well, they were supposed to. He was supposed to talk to her the following morning because they had family over, and the dad's like, you know how your mom gets when her parents are over.
Okay.
So we'll talk about it in the morning.
Okay, I see. And she tells Sabrina to go away and Merry Christmas. Like, so she's really angry, and just a kind of sweetheart, like, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But we get back to the house. They come up with a plan to get Salem. They're all back there. Sabrina gets mad at herself for, like, leaving Salem, and she's really starting to miss him. She says that she can pop in there, knock the boy down, and take Salem, and Hilda's all for it, but Zelda's like, no, you can't do that. Sabrina says that she has a plan, and she runs upstairs.
And at the boy's house, Sabrina, dressed as Santa, comes out of the closet. The boy tells her that the other kid said he didn't exist, but he knew he did. The boy asks for a present. She brought him a spatula. And a Neil Diamond CD.
A Neil Diamond box set.
Like, what was that just in the... Did she just randomly pick some stuff to...
I don't know. What kind of gifts are those for kids?
It's like, I don't even think, like, did she put... bring like any magic sack, and then she just reached into it, and then she just pulled out some random stuff. It's
yeah, she pulled stuff out of the fourth dimension. She brought it right in,
and she's disappointed in the gifts. Like, didn't you get my fax?
It's like, fax. What year is this?
It's 1996.
Yeah, so I don't know. In 96, I don't think I had an email address. I think my first email address was 2000, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, who even writes an email to Santa? You don't.
I don't know.
So this is like the only person who still receives letters.
All right, yeah. As we know from the town Santa forgot.
Yeah, and she tells him that she needs to talk to his cat. The cat belongs to a blonde girl that misses him very much. And the boy says, tough luck. She says, okay, but his present is in the bag, so the cat has to get in to get it. And Salem runs in, and she's like, she holds the sack open. He's like, she's to the cat, it's in the bag. In the bag, in the bag, hint, 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 in the bag.
Then, he finally gets it.
And then Salem runs in, she lifts it up and says she's got to go. The boy says she can't take the cat, and she replies with, watch me, and leaves. The boy is left yelling that Santa stole his cat. The mom runs in and says he's dreaming.
Yeah, because obviously the mom doesn't know anything about the cat, so if they probably would have told her about the cat, then she would have, you know, giving more weight to his stuff. But we get zapped back to the Spellman household, and everyone is happy that Salem is back. They start singing Christmas carols. It's a nice 90s Christmas feeling, I guess, is here's where I started getting it. It's after midnight, as Monty says, so they're going to start exchanging gifts. Salem says that he got Sabrina something, and that it's upstairs. So we're magically upstairs really fast. He tells her that her present is that he's going to start respecting her privacy. And then she's like, forever? And he's like, for about a week. And then they bicker a little bit, and eventually they settle on 10 days. So he's going to respect her privacy for 10 days. Do you think he made it all the way to those 10 days, or you think next week he was already up to antics?
I think he kept the promise.
You think so?
Yeah, I think actually he was thankful for once and said, okay, you know, final offer, 10 days. I actually think it was like kind of serious to him, right? I'd like at least give her that.
Right. Well, we get sent back downstairs, and Monty, he gives the bendy woman a proposal. And I don't think we mentioned much about Cousin Monty as far as he goes as a character, but he's very snobby. He's very... he's not wealthy, but he acts like he's wealthy, I guess.
I got that impression, yeah. The actor looked familiar. I couldn't quite place him, but I've seen him in other stuff.
The actor... I don't know, but he seemed like he was... like he was supposed to be... oh, it's Dana Gould? I did not know that was Dana Gould.
Where else has he been in?
Dana Gould, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
I did not know that that was him. Wow, I didn't even recognize him. Mystery Men, you remember that one?
Kind of.
He's on The Simpsons.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just the voice. So,
it doesn't matter. But yeah, well, I did not know that was him. Okay, so yeah, that's him. He was very snobby in a way. He made comments that he's attracted to the circus performer, but the circus performer doesn't have any money, so he wants to marry her, even though she has no money. And at this point, he gives her a proposal, and she accepts. And she gives him a solid gold cigarette case. And I was like, wow, that must have cost a pretty penny. And then he's like, how could you afford this? You're just some circus act. And she goes, oh, well, I forgot to tell you, my dad's loaded. And then he's like, huh, well, Merry Christmas. And they do a toast. And the newt says, it like zooms in on the newt. And he goes, and to all, a good newt. And then we go to the final scene.
The final scene, everyone is in the kitchen watching Salem, and he's rolling around and all the leftover wrapping paper. That's something like everybody who has a cat can totally relate to.
Oh, yeah.
Because our cat also does that all the time. At the boy's house, he's sitting in his room playing with a spatula like a car. The parents try to get him to play with something else, but he doesn't want to. He wants to play with a present Santa gave him. They don't know where he goes, where he got that from, and the Neil Diamond box set. And he asks to play Sweet Caroline again, and then they yell, no!
Yeah, Sweet Caroline. That was the end is pretty funny because they're trying to take away the spatula. And he's like, no, Santa gave it to me. You can't take away my spatula. They're like, give me the spatula. Don't you want to play with your like volcano? They're like, he's like, no, I want to play with my spatula.
This kid is gonna end up in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
It's possible. So yeah, that is the end of the show. So we're going to try a new segment that we're going to do when we come back. So enjoy this wonderful Christmas commercial.
See you then.
Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
Wishes for this and all your mornings from Folgers.
And we're back. So I hope you enjoyed that Folgers classic Christmas commercial. Last, have you ever seen that commercial before?
Nope. I don't know anything about coffee, no? Especially not American coffee. But it was a sweet one. I didn't know where it was going at first.
Yeah, it was Peter. He comes home. Yeah, classic commercial. But yeah, so let's go to our new segment. The new segment, I believe we're just calling it Favorite Scene. So each week, well, each time we do a sitcom, we're going to each pick a scene and we're going to share it for you. And Lassa has this week. So Lassa, go ahead.
It was really tough to choose like a favorite scene because there are actually many good scenes. But I think one of my favorite scenes, if I had to pick one, is actually the... It should be one of the exchanges between Sabrina and the cat. I'm pretty sure the one at the end when they agree on the 10 days.
Yeah, that is a nice scene. It kind of brings everything back. Mm-hmm. That nice, wholesome scene. So we're going to play it right now and enjoy.
Psst. I got you something, but it's upstairs.
So where's my present?
It's more of a promise than a present.
No present?
Wait, you'll like it. I promise to appreciate you and respect your privacy.
From now on?
No. For like a week.
That's it?
Okay, 10 days, but that's my final offer.
Deal.
And we're back. So let's get into our... Actually, no. You bring us back. I think I've been doing it every single time.
Okay. And we're back, and now it's time to give our final thoughts on the show overall, and also, of course, this very special episode. What do you have to say? You go first.
Let's see. Sabrina, this episode, I think, is really fun. It's a good take on a Christmas episode, because there's actual conflict. Somebody's missing.
Mm-hmm.
First, you don't care that the cat's missing. But then you do care that the cat's missing. And Sabrina goes, she kind of really learned to value, even though he's a jerk, even though he drives her crazy, she really does love that cat as not just a pet, but like I said earlier, it's kind of like a brother. You fight with your brother, your brother drives you crazy, but you will miss your brother if your brother's gone.
Classic.
So that's kind of what they were trying to do here. So she goes above and beyond. She talks to Coolio. She knocks on doors to try to find the cat. And she does at the end. She realizes that how much Salem meant to her. And then Salem realized how much she meant to him. Because at the very end, the exchange of her privacy for 10 days, but he's a cat, so he's gonna try to one up whatever he can. So that's basically it in a nutshell. It's a good Christmas episode to kind of show the different type of aspect of a family. I guess I can say the brother and the sister aspect in this episode. Not necessarily the whole family together, just brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
But done with a cat and a witch.
Yeah, because I care about his character, because I really like these kind of cynical, kind of mean characters on a sitcom when they are done well. And he is done very well. I like the voice, I like the weird look of a cat when he's obviously a puppet, and they switch it around when every now and then he's actually a real cat. I mean, they do what they can with the limited TV budget they have. But I enjoyed this episode immensely. It was really nice going back to this show I haven't seen in years and years, and even more years. Overall, this episode encapsulates everything that also the show is. It's a very cheesy episode of a very cheesy show. I mean, it's one of the quintessential 90s shows.
Yeah,
it really is. It has a lot of the tropes, but it has these dedicated performances, a fun concept, and really good jokes going for it. And I was watching this and actually thinking about, I wonder if J.K. Rowling actually got partially inspired by the sitcom for her Harry Potter books. Because it's kind of like, the show started in 96 and the first book was published in 97. It's almost like the sitcom helped the viewers to get used to this modern approach of witches and wizards living among us, looking like us, and then Harry Potter came out and cemented the success of that concept. In Harry Potter, there's a similar twist with an animal who turns out to be a man. And so it has a lot of these tropes, and it actually also has pictures coming to life, like paintings coming to life and photographs being like alive and moving and all that stuff. And this show has a lot of stuff in it that kind of reminded me of what if the world of Harry Potter was like a TV show, like a TV sitcom in the 90s. So I was actually wondering about, did J.K. Rowling watch this show and then partially got inspired by this?
Well, it's possible. There was a lot of witch activity going on in the 90s. We had Hocus Pocus, the Halloween movie.
Mm-hmm.
That also had a black talking cat.
Yeah.
We had the show Charmed with the four witches. And we had Harry Potter. We had Sabrina the Teenage Witch. We had all of that stuff in the 90s. I'm trying to think of anything else that was witch-related, but the only thing I could think of is, Bewitched, but that was, in the 60s.
Wasn't there, what was Witches of Eastwick? That was earlier than 90s, right?
I don't know. I think that might have been after.
Let me see.
Take a quick peek.
I have the soundtrack here. It was 87.
87, wow, okay.
So not that far before it.
No, so yeah, it could have been a combination of everything of how J.K. Rowling got inspired by all of the witchery. But I do remember when I was writing a lot of books, one of my publishers said that they were really looking advertising person, their marketing person, said that the it thing at the moment was female witches. So eat up as much female witch activity as you can, because that's going to be the new vampires. This was when, like, Twilight was out. Mm-hmm. Everyone was all into vampires, vampire this, vampire that. We had Twilight. We had, what other vampire thing was out there for similar?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
but like love stories involving monsters. And then they said, oh, love stories involving witches. That's going to be the next best thing. So, but yeah, that's just how things cycle in life. New topics come up, the same ones just keep getting recycled in different waves.
Yeah, I got sick very quickly of a zombie trend, and then still, like, The Walking Dead is on, but I'm like, just let it die, you know? It's just like a zombie itself. It's kind of like unkillable.
It just doesn't die.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, it's awful. Please, can you just knock it off with the damn zombies?
Well, the zombies were big for a while, but I think they're starting to teeter out now.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got done like ripping off Twilight in our movies. Now it's gone. Now they still do like the Hunger Games knockoff stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's still different trends like all the time. I wonder what the new trend will be.
Who knows? But for now, I guess this episode's over. I got nothing else to say about Sabrina other than I thought she was very good looking.
Yeah, I think the show is fun. The show is fun. This episode was fun. I had a really good time with it. And we had some stuff to say about it, of course. But overall, yeah, I'm just amazed by the Harry Potter parallels in this. And you will see it even more when you finally get to watch the first movie.
Yeah, well, we'll get to there in time. I think it's not scheduled for a couple of months, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast. If you'd like to send us any questions, comments, or anything of the like, you can go ahead and send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. That is 90 and then S for 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. And please send us some mail. Let us know how we're doing, because we do get quite a few downloads now, and we want to hear from you. We want to know what you guys like, what you guys don't like, so we can make the show better for you. So let us know. Lasse, didn't you have something you wanted to mention to a special listener out there?
Yeah, exactly. Because we noticed that we have a couple of German listeners. And I really want to know who those are. Like, are you actually guests who were on my other podcast beforehand, and I recommended this one to you, and then you just started following this? Or are you just totally unrelated people who just enjoy listen to English podcasts for some reason? But please write us. Like, tell us or share this on Twitter. Please tell us who you are and where you are. We noticed we have like a listener in Frankfurt, we have a listener in Bremen, we have a listener in Hamburg. I think there's one in Dortmund. Please tell us who you are. I would really love to hear from you. We both of us would, because we are curious how you got to this show and what do you like about it.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to hear. Obviously, if you reply in German, I will have to send that to Lasse so he can translate for me.
I think when they're listening to this podcast, they are able to write us in English.
Yes, I would hope so. But there was something else I wanted to say about listeners. Oh, leave us a review. Those really do help us in the iTunes ranking. A lot of podcasters out there say, no, it doesn't do anything. But then I hear a lot of stuff from Apple Podcasts that say, it does. It reflects, it looks at everything. It looks at your downloads. It looks at your subscribes. So if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do that. Please leave us a review, because those really do help us get noticed. I have noticed, because I do try to do a lot of marketing for my podcasts, the Halloween podcast and this one. And I do searches on Apple Podcasts to try to see what people need to search for to find our show. And I notice if you type in Christmas, we don't show up. If you type in 90s Christmas, we show up along with other shows. If you type in It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, obviously we show up. But I think in order for us to show up in narrow searches, you need to leave us a review. Those will help us get people to notice it. iTunes will probably see that and say, yeah, let's start showing, let's put this up every time somebody searches for Christmas. that show will come up. So it would really help out a lot if you can do that. And if you're a listener to the Halloween podcast that came over here to the show, welcome. Glad to have you here.
And you have listened to my show coming over here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, okay, you could also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ 90s Christmas Pod, and we're on Facebook, or not Facebook, we're on Twitter, 90s Christmas Pod. You could find us there. If you send a message, one of us will reply, we guarantee it.
Yeah, exactly. You can find all of my other stuff on Facebook and on Twitter at Lasse Vogt. My other show is called Fans About Films, where I talk with fans about films and with composers about their music. And I have a YouTube channel where I do a lot of stuff, and I write German soundtrack reviews on scoregeek.wordpress.com. Please visit me there. Please leave us some reviews. We are really... We're really looking forward to your opinions and what you can maybe change about the show, what can we do better, what is great about it. If you have no complaints at all, still write us something. We are really glad to hear from you about anything.
Yeah, and with that, we will close out this episode, and we will see you again next week. Have a good night.
Have a good night, people, and a lovely Christmas.